Hello, fellow nerds, and welcome to the Nerds of Oz Season 2, Episode 1, coming to you live from the Fortress of Nerditude. And we're all back. Today I'm joined by Josh.
Woohoo!
And Shane.
Thanks for having me back.
We're here to have a few laughs and look at a fairly controversial, and I use this term loosely, comic movie that came out last year. In the meantime, it's been a while since we've sat at this table in the Fortress.
Feels good.
What have you guys been up to? Shane, what have you been up to the last couple of weeks? Did you survive Christmas?
Survive Christmas. Not dying of smoke, which is good.
Yep.
It's good to see some rain in our happy country.
For those that don't know, Australia, unfortunately, is completely on fire.
All of it.
All of it.
Everywhere.
Every single scrap of it. People talked about the...
We're in our bunkers right now.
The fortress is underground. I mean, they talked about the Amazon burning, what, was that 12 months ago?
The Amazon burned heaps.
Was it 12 months ago was happening? But like,
yeah. this is a lot worse.
There's like, Australia's...
Look, we're not having a dick measuring competition, but...
No, I am.
We've definitely burned a lot more than you guys.
We actually have like a Michael Fassbender type of dick happening right now.
I just think that if you've got a fire happening and the country that's an island that's, however many kilometres away from you can smell
a
the
few.
Smoke, you got problems. But yeah, so thankfully.
The best thing is all the Americans being like, oh, Australia is a pretty big country. Because then they've got like the measurement of Australia and put it inside the US and going, this is how big their country is. And all of it's on fire. And they're like, oh, that's a lot.
Well, there's in one of those infographics that was on the news, like one of the fires was like as big as California. And that was one fire. It's like, yeah, your Californian fires are pretty bad, man.
Yeah. California is gone.
Yeah.
Boardwalk, gone.
Gone, yeah. But it's, I'll tell you a funny story. I worked for Games Workshop, a game company, many, many years ago. And we had a map in our sales room. Mm-hmm. And this map had all of the stockists of Games Workshop all over Australia. And as you can imagine, because of Australia, they're all coastal. And this big manager from head office in England comes out. And he goes, oh, is this the map of where your stockists are? I was like, yeah. And he points to the map just randomly and goes, why don't you have a stockist there? And he goes, it's a desert. Why don't you have a stockist there? Points somewhere else. It's a desert. Why don't you have a stockist here? He points somewhere else. It's a fucking desert.
Oh, is this for Australia?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And he's pointing at all of these points on the map. Why don't you have a stockist here? It's a fucking desert. And like he points to near Alice Springs and goes, what about here? It's a big fucking
rock
surrounded by desert. They don't understand that like England... People don't understand that their whole country is like Sydney to Melbourne.
That's all we got.
It's like, we've got a big country. Not a lot of it's inhabitable.
Yeah, yeah. You can't live in
We just live on the outskirts.
We live near the water.
It's like Interstellar. Yeah. We have to like go on a fucking spaceship to try and find source of life.
That's exactly right. What about you, Josh? How was your Christmas and New Year's and whatever?
Well, I can't really complain, eh? Like I said, we're not on fire.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's not on fire here.
No, not right now. You just close the curtains for that.
Yeah.
And you just hope it doesn't breach those curtains.
Yeah.
Safety curtains.
On the news last night before I went to bed, I heard that they said that this rain has actually reduced the fires a fair bit. There's only double-digit fires happening now.
That's good.
It's like, fuck, so there's... We're not in the hundreds anymore with
fires.
We were
talking about what they were doing with all the donations for the bushfires.
Yeah.
And so someone said at work, they're like, what do they do with all the money? Like, who governs the money? Yep. Who decides what happens with it? I'm like, do you not know? They're like, no. And I'm like, well, it's like with the water buckets. They get all the donations and they fly it over the fires and they drop it. They're like, all the money would burn up. And I'm like, no, that's why you need coin donations. Yep. So the coins are heavier and it's like dropping sand on the fire.
That's actually why Australia has $1 and $2 coins and not notes. So it's easy to donate to the fire.
Yeah, helps put our fires out.
That's so wrong.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool. It's funny the we've just been having a look at a couple of we always have lunch before we start the podcast, and we've been looking at a couple of trailers. It's we've got a fair few comic movies coming up soon, but they don't seem.
But
are
they really cinema? Like. Let's be honest here. People are going to remember these movies in 10 years' time.
We're going to come back to that conversation. But it's for a couple of months, we've got some sort of pretty big second-tier movies coming out. We've got Birds of Prey, we've got Black Widow, we've got Morbius, we've got Bloodshot, all sort of coming out within days of each other. And it's interesting, I don't know if comic movies are in at the moment because of what is coming. Like, I think that they should have called the Birds of Prey movie Harley Quinn.
What do you think? What do you think the new thing is that's coming then? So we had like what, like Twilight vampires, yeah, and you had your zombies.
Yep.
Then we had superheroes. What's the next thing?
I reckon aliens.
Aliens.
So not alien aliens, not aliens, but in general aliens.
Well, that underwater movie with Kristen Stewart was basically Alien underwater, where like she gets trapped.
Yeah, and they got to walk to the escape pods, yeah, and they're like, on the bottom of the water.
Huh? Is that alien?
Yes.
What's it called?
Underwater.
Underwater, yeah.
And where does it take place?
Underwater. Okay. Oi. Yeah, so apparently,
gotcha.
Yeah, apparently people described it as just like alien, but underwater.
But I mean, that movie Life was alien, but closer to home.
Oh, I only just recently
had Deadpool, so Mysterio.
Yeah. But yeah, I think and the controlling force behind that, I think, is going to be Disney. This is my prediction.
Where's that coming from, though?
So this is my prediction for this year. So they've said that they're going to do a Star Wars every second year. So Avatar 2 is this year.
Oh, I'm fucking over it already.
Still never seen, okay, Avatar.
So,
oh, you please don't. Save yourself 2 hours, 3 hours.
It's Pocahontas without the music.
I was going to say Fern Gully with the Smurfs.
There you go, same
Holy
thing.
Shit.
Yeah.
Analogies everywhere. Like
It's because Disney now owns Fox, they got Avatar in that. So Avatar was huge 12 years ago, 10 years ago. Is that when it was big? So
was it ever?
Well, it was big. It was the Endgame had to be released twice to beat it at the box office.
I know, they were just scratching for change. They were like, let's just put our hand in the middle of the lounge and just see what comes out.
That's exactly what they did. But I think what you're going to find is that Avatar's going to get a re-release in September.
Was Avatar so big? I'm still under the impression.
It was one of the first 3D movies.
No, it was the first 3D movie.
It was the first 3D movie of its kind.
Yeah. Because you had House of Wax back in...
Yeah. So it's like Creature of the Black Lagoon was shot in 3D. But this was the... This used things like... I think the interior of the mech, you could actually... The computer banks actually hung out of the screen. Like, it was a completely different method of doing 3D. Something that Cameron had developed. So I think that what's going to happen is... oh, great, we've got a phone ringing in the background.
You guys still have a phone?
Yeah. We
Who has home phones these days?
Yeah, I know.
Producer. It's crazy, isn't it? It's good.
Yeah.
Kirby, you had one job!
No, she's got her headphones on. She's not answering.
Ah, shit.
Anyway, we're gonna let that ring.
Let's just write it out.
We'll just talk over the top.
Disney,
of it.
We can't talk right now. Yeah.
Kirby, you've just been dox and pay.
Yeah, so Kirby's gonna pick up the phone and go. Why are you calling? You know what they're doing.
Is it Bob Iger? I'm pretty sure she's picked up the phone and hung it up again. Without any answer.
Now they're gonna call back.
No, because right now it's cold callers from other countries calling you.
Yeah.
Hi, would you like to donate to the bushfire relief for Australia?
Exactly. But what were we talking about? I've forgotten.
Shit.
Disney.
Avatar.
Oh, yeah, Avatar.
Mech.
So what they will do, what I think that they will do is that they haven't re-released Avatar at the cinemas in 3D again. So Disney will re-release Avatar 4K. At the cinemas in 4K. I
haven't got that out in 4K yet, actually.
It's
strange.
Well, so this is what will happen. It will come back out in 4K.
Yeah.
Then it will be, maybe a director's cut or something will come out.
Ugh.
It will scrape back that. It'll beat
Endgame.
When you
have all those extra SKUs next to each other. Yeah.
It'll beat Endgame again because Endgame only just beat it. So it'll be back on top of Endgame. Then there'll be a 4K release on Blu-ray and DVD in about October, in November. And then Avatar 2 Electric Boogaloo on the...
Oh, I can't wait for that.
The 24th or the 25th or the 26th.
You see the slat for Avatar and it's just got a bunch of Roman numerals next to it. And it's just like, oh.
When it gets to Avatar, because they have apparently planned like an Avatar film for the next.
They said that they had already greenlit the fifth one. It's like, you haven't done a second one yet.
Yeah, so that'll be Avatar, but the V in Avatar will be like a big V because it's five. It'll be Avatar. You just know it.
There's a funny South Park little joke about the movie industry is basically taking a dive, and they're talking about raising the bar.
Yeah.
So James Cameron has his submarine that he took to raise the Titanic in the movie, and he goes underwater to try to raise the bar. So he's going through the whole ocean fighting off monsters to raise the bar because he knows he can, like, just make the shittest movies ever as long as he raises the bar.
Well, let's face it. You can basically take the script for Titanic and the script for Avatar, and they are essentially the same script. They are people from other sides, from opposite sides of the world. They're Romeo and Juliet.
Floating on a portrait that they could both fit on.
Don't get me wrong, Avatar's a pretty film, but it's also just Pocahontas in space. It's Spacehontas.
Let's never watch it together.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
I've watched it once and that was too much.
I made two vows in my life. One was to uphold my wedding vows and the other one was not to watch Avatar. So I'm doing good at both of them, sort of.
That's good.
Sort of.
Very good.
I don't know which one I'm doing better at.
Okay, so, but today we're going to, so like I said, a lot of comic movies coming out this year.
Morbius.
And like Josh suggested, that, is it cinema? Because a particular film came out last year, and that's what we're going to talk about today. A particular film came out last year, and the producer of that film, Martin Scorsese, famously talked about how it wasn't cinema. Before we get into it, let's have a little listen to the trailer.
Can you please stop bothering my kid?
Sorry.
Arthur, I have some bad news for you. This is the last time we'll be meeting.
You don't listen, do you? You just ask the same questions every week. How's your job? Are you having any negative thoughts? All I have are negative thoughts.
And finally, in a world where everyone thinks they can do my job, check out this guy.
When I was a little boy and told people I was going to be a comedian, everyone laughed at me. Well, no one's laughing now.
You can say that again, pal.
Isn't it?
For my whole life, I didn't know if I even really existed. But I do. And people are starting to notice.
Think this is funny? Is this a joke to you?
Murray, one small thing.
Yeah.
When you bring me out, can you introduce me as Joker?
Okay, so set in 1981 Gotham City, or thereabouts, Joker tells of Arthur Fleck, can't speak because I've got two tongues in my mouth, who's played by Joaquin Phoenix, a downtrodden individual suffering from several mental illnesses, who over the course of the film finds himself downtrodden and pushed to the brink of insanity, but seems to find himself after killing three businessmen. His madness escalates and eventually his seemingly anti-rich movement causes an uprising in Gotham City. Now, like, that's the film really basically, but it's like so much more than that. Now this film, interestingly, it's a well-acted film, it's a good-looking film, it looks like a grimy 70s film and all the rest of it. Produced by Martin Scorsese, as we said earlier, directed by Todd Phillips. Scorsese controversially said that the Marvel movies, which we love, aren't real cinema but more of a theme park. He thinks that he's proven here that you can take a comic concept and take it further than what it's based on. Josh, what do you think as far as that's concerned? What do you think of Scorsese's comment about Marvel films being a theme park?
That's a good one. He's entitled to his opinion. He's done a lot of movies I've liked. What, Taxi Driver and Shutter Island?
Yep,
one of my favorites.
Have you seen Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Only half of it. I never got back to watch the rest. But yeah, he's done his tenure. He's done his time. He's got a knack for this, sure. My opinion boiled down to it is I think he's getting shitty that, I guess, the status quo of movies has changed. We spoke about it before. You had vampires and you had zombies and you've had superheroes. The fact that this has been a 10-year-long, it's a long time, this decade of superheroes, it may have taken away from proper cinema, and I'm doing that in inverted commas. So classics aren't being recognized as he wants, or people are more drawn towards this sort of creative comic booky culture. He doesn't like that. That boiled down is what I think about it. You know, who's to say that these classics still won't be around then? And yeah. I'm talking about older classics. They're not going anywhere. That's cool. Some of the movies we watch now will be around. Not every movie's going to have like a retention rate or be remembered forever.
And even within the Marvel movies, that's true. There's some Marvel 100%. Movies that'll be like, these were amazing films, and then there's going to be stuff that's
like, I'm completely honest with it. There's some crackers in there that I'm like, that's brilliant. Like, this is a great movie. But there's also some that I'm like, that's not their best work.
Mm.
Completely open about it.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, we'll get to that. And there's definitely some defined as classics that I'm like, they're brilliant. There's also some that I'm like, they're not, but you're saying they are, therefore people feel like they have to agree, or you're stepping on the toes of the big wigs.
I think one of the problems with the way that they advertise films is where this is coming from.
Yeah, of course.
I think that you look at the way films are advertised now, they tell you this film will be a classic. The best film of 2020. It's like...
when they have to correlate it back to...
2020 is not over yet, bro. Don't tell me that this film's the best film of 2020. So I totally get that the marketing of the Marvel films is more important. And I'm going to... We'll talk about superhero films, but he definitively said Marvel films, so we'll talk about Marvel films. It's the marketing that's more important. What do you think about it, Shane? What do you think about Scorsese's comments?
I agree with him. You know, this isn't me having a slight against Marvel or any other superhero movie, but, you know, I was discussing this with Nat, my wife, this morning, and I'm in your corner as well. I feel like everything to do with superhero movies, especially Marvel movies, is all about marketing and casting. You know, you've gone from Robert Downey Jr. to Paul Rudd to Benedict Cumberbatch, and there's no uniqueness in it anymore. Like, you know that back in 2006 when Batman Begins came out, you know, Christian Bale, Katie Holmes and all that stuff, like, oh, wow, they're going to be in a superhero movie. But now you're coming to 2020 where any person, you can connect any big celebrity now to a Marvel movie, and it's not really about the story anymore. It's more about the marketing. I love Scorsese. Goodfellas is in my top five. I love Raging Bull because it tells true cinema. I don't think these Marvel movies have rewatch ability compared to what I like in cinema. Like, I can watch Goodfellas every day of the week. I can't watch Captain America every day of the week. I can watch Taxi Driver pretty much any day of the week. I like Dallas Buyers Club by Jean-Marc Vallée because of the cinema aspect. This is more of a marketing ploy in my eyes. Even though I do like the Marvel movies, like, I've watched Endgame once and I was at the movies and I don't want to watch it again.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like this. It's not too much about the storytelling as more is like, there's all these actors in one movie.
So I disagree with that though.
No, that's fine.
And yeah, I liked it. We're having, like I said, I really like this one. I think he's more, I guess, concerned that they're making big dollars. These movies are making like bank, like big time bank. And it's the cinema's evolving, it's changing, they're adapting, they've got new technology that they didn't have before, so they can do a lot more with what they couldn't before. Like, that's why, I guess, old school, like, comics, you can draw or write whatever you want in a scene, and it can happen.
Yeah.
Oh, they went to space, and then the next page, oh, they're back, cool.
I think Jack Kirby, I think it was, said that comics are better than any other format because it costs money to build a model spaceship. It costs no extra money to draw 500 spaceships.
There's no cost on imagination or creativity. That's exactly right. Go crazy. But now that we've got that tech that can keep up with, hey, I want to do this. Yeah, we can do that. Cool. And I guess that's pressuring older movies to be like, oh, are they boring or they're older, they're dated. They're not. They're a different concept. Superhero movies fall into a different like subgenre just as some of this other cinema. I don't like that he will use the word cinema. It puts him up on a pedestal that makes it seem like...
He deserves to be on that pedestal. Yeah. Let's just say he deserves to be up there.
His films can, but it makes it seem like the way he had that, the statement, and like I said, it's his opinion, so that's fine. But he's making it seem like his opinion is more valued than...
I think with Scorsese is also interested in the history of film, and there's a lot of films that would have disappeared if it wasn't for Scorsese saving them.
Mm-hmm. And De Niro as well.
De Niro too. I mean, the interesting thing for me with this idea is that I agree with both of you. I'm not sitting on the fence with this. I don't know why theme parks are bad. Like, everybody's
if that's meant to be an insult, I'm like, yeah, I'd rather be at theme park every day of the week.
It's like, okay, so the Marvel films are a theme park. Yeah, they are. They're bubblegum. You put them in your mouth, you chew them until the flavor goes away, and then you spit them out. There's nothing wrong with that. And just the same as, I loved Endgame. Have I watched it again? I think I've watched a quarter of it again, because as I watched it, I thought, oh, I should go back and watch them all. And there's a weight with, I've talked about it 100 times, there's a weight with these films where you've got to watch all of them. You can't just sit somebody, if somebody says, what's a Marvel film? You can't go, here's Endgame, go and watch that. Because they'll sit there and they'll go, I do not know what the fuck is going on. I love Endgame. Do I think Endgame is a better film than Psycho? Fuck no.
I think you're comparing them on a completely different scale then as well.
Exactly. Marvel's a theme park, mm-hmm. and we're talking, he called it cinema, and you're right, he sort of put it on that pedestal, but it deserves to be on a pedestal.
It's the analogy like what? You can't compare, you can't ask a fish to climb a tree and then judge it because it can't climb a tree.
Exactly.
It's like...
The Marvel films are that fish. Mm-hmm. The tree is cinema, and Marvel films, the difference is that they don't want to climb the tree. They're their own thing. Mm. Disney's making a shed load of money. Warner Brothers making a shed load of money. So why the fuck would they care if it's cinema or not?
The same as if you went and compared an animation. Seats. You go compare animation to a horror movie. Two different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't group them in that.
I think that Scorsese was being a little bit elitist in saying it, but I don't think he was wrong. I don't think that you can, in any way, can you say that a film like Gone with the Wind is comparable to a Marvel movie. You know, there is cinema classics, The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. You know, there is like Sergio Leone films, Dario Argento's like Suspiria and stuff like that. You can't compare the artistry and the story in those cinema. That's something that's they're big cartoons. They're cartoons for big kids. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because I like going to Luna Park. I like going on the roller coaster. And I'm just as excited about that as I am about seeing a film that I've never seen before that's a lost classic from 1974. Like, I would sit down and watch Carnival of Souls and get the same pleasure out of watching Carnival of Souls, which is a horror movie from the early 60s, as I would as going to the Easter Show and going on a ride.
I think
they're two different enjoyments.
I think it's the wording of the word cinema that really kind of skewed his, I guess, his statement. If he'd used just these movies or this subgenre, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
The fact that he said cinema and then I watched the Howard Stern with Robert Downey Jr. Then really trying to provoke him into like a reaction. And he replied really well. But he said, aren't all films cinema? You go to the cinemas, you watch them, you know, they're all that. Like
that's a cop-out.
Yeah, that makes no sense. But if you mean, the subgenre, like, you're talking about superhero movies or you want to talk about horror movies or you want to talk about animation or you want to talk about this, then by all means, it's like then it makes more sense and it's easier to understand or classify movies of that nature.
So this brings me to the next question, and this I'm throwing this one on you guys right now. This is one that I hadn't talked about to you previously.
All right, I'll be back in a sec.
Would the best way, so we talk about the reason that these films work is because of the marketing. Do we agree on that? We get pre-trailers and sub-trailers, and then at the end of every film, like they're soap opera. At the end of every film, there's a cliffhanger, and you go, oh, can't wait for the next one. So if marketing is an important part of selling superhero films, and marketing was an important part of Guardians of the Galaxy. Nobody knew what the fuck Guardians of the Galaxy was, so they threw 1970s pop hits that were easy to sell. Suicide Squad did it. Charlie's Angels did it. You know, it's a great way to market your film. Is another good way to market your film to get out there and say, yeah, these comic films are fine, but this is how you make a comic film. Is the marketing of being an elitist, of standing there and going, yeah, those comic films are a thing. This is how you make a comic film cinema. What do you reckon, Shane?
Well, if we're referring to Scorsese on that point, he's just done it.
Well, Scorsese was the producer. This is directed by Todd Hangover Phillips.
Todd Judate Phillips with RDJ in it.
So do you think that maybe, because this was talked about almost as much as the movie was talked about, was his comments on it. Because every single Marvel fan went, ah, is a great way to do it is to get a character that people loved previously in Heath Ledger and then say something scandalous like that. Is it just like ultimate marketing? This is an R-rated film. So they're not going to do toys. They're not going to do T-shirts. They're not going to do all of that other shit that they do. So do you get out there and you go, I can smell your ass. And everybody goes, ah, no, you can't. It's a great way to sell your film. It's the perfect marketing is by insulting everything else. It's worked in politics for 300 years.
Yeah, because people want to then go, you're wrong, and I'm going to prove you. They want to go watch it to then try and nitpick it, and you've already won at that point. The minute they paid for their ticket, you've won.
Yep.
Because they don't give a shit what your opinion is. You've already put the money back in their pocket and been like, yeah, cool, there you go. I'm trying to think. I went and saw this at the cinemas, and that's not because I'd read into any of this. I didn't know about any of this at this stage. I was like, yeah, I just want to go see it because it seems like a good movie based around the Joker. Cool. There's things I don't agree with in the movie. There's things I think that they did really well as well in the movie. But I walked away with it going, yeah, it was a good movie. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
So,
and then saw all the upper after and I was like, oh, wow, they're really trying to, you know.
Do you reckon that this film exists? This film exists. Would this film have worked as well if it had been another obscure Batman character or an obscure Superman character? Is this working because it's the Joker?
I feel like it's working because Jared Leto didn't have such a big reprise on his role. I feel like after this movie was not supposed to be made. This movie was supposed to be talked about and then canned, but somehow it made it, and for the better. After, obviously, Jared Leto didn't do great in his performance. Apparently, he didn't do great. I thought he did great.
I loved it.
He was talked into doing another role of the Joker, but that just since has been canned. People thought that this was the same thing. They're like, oh, they're doing two Jokers at the same time in the same universe. It's like that. And honestly, I didn't believe it was going to happen either. I thought, oh, it's all talk. And then Joaquin Phoenix, and then all of a sudden Todd Phillips, and all of a sudden Robert De Niro, then all of a sudden Alec Baldwin was supposed to be Thomas Wayne. Yeah. And he pulled out 2 days later, which was probably a big mistake. And it ended up being, in my opinion, one of the best movies of 2019. Mm. So the marketing was pretty much spot on. Todd Phillips swinging his dick out there saying, I'm going to show you boys how it's done.
Okay, so
the same thing that you said about Robert Downey Jr., Paul Rudd, and Benedict Cumberbatch putting all these star performers in it. They did the exact same thing in The Joker as to what they did in the Marvel film. So I think that that opinion of, yeah, you've got to put someone that is relatable.
Is
someone
Joaquin that Phoenix
is, really I don't think Joaquin Paul? Phoenix is relatable though, dude.
I think he's big enough to carry a role like that. I definitely do.
I can only name one other film that he was in. Two.
Ladder 49 and The Master is what I got.
Okay, I've not heard of those two.
Yeah, Ladder 49.
Okay, take him out.
He was normal.
You've still got a lot of people in.
You have Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
That's it.
But when Iron Man came out, Danny Jr. wasn't.
He was recovering heroin.
Yeah, he was a heroin addict.
That wasn't like a guaranteed success, nor was this movie.
No, I was talking more late, maybe a
couple
later years
on.
Later.
It's just if they do a Joker 2 or something like that, then they're like, okay, we've got something here. Yeah. Cool. They've made the money. They've got the awards. They're like, okay, we can get a bit more creative with this sort of thing now.
There will never be a Joker 2.
So, good movie? Do you think it's a good movie?
It was a great movie.
You think it's a good movie?
Yeah, it's all right.
Shane, good comic movie?
No.
Good comic movie?
No.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't know if you guys have watched the extras on the Blu-rays. But Todd Phillips actually says, we took the Joker, we deconstructed him, we pulled him apart, and then we rebuilt our own thing. So why is it called?
I didn't like that it was called Joker.
Yeah.
I honestly wanted it to be called the Clown or something. Yeah.
Interestingly, notice it's not called the Joker.
It's just called Joker.
And he never refers to himself
He calls himself Joker. Joker.
It's like a moniker. He's not defining himself as being the Joker, and I think that's and even when you look at the cover of the Blu-ray, it says Joker in massive words that don't look like anything like a comic masthead, And then the DC thing is like a 2 millimeter wide. Tiny. The DC bullet, it's tiny, so they're hardly even relating it to the.
You even feel like a bit like sort of shocked when they mention Gotham, Arkham, like that, because you're not in that world in this movie.
That actually shit me. I was pulled out of the movie being this gritty, dark, new story that I felt like in the first 2 minutes they had to shoehorn Gotham City down your throat. And they had to kind of make reference to the Batman, even though he hasn't happened yet, but they're referencing, obviously, oh, you've got to put on a mask and do this sort of thing. I'm like, okay, I get it. You're doing the Batman thing and you're referencing him to the Joker sort of thing. I didn't like that they had to really make that a thing. Mm. I would have much preferred it to just be an unnamed city. They've got problems.
If you're slapping that DC thing on there, dude, is in Gotham.
Well, so, it's funny. Yeah. The thing that pisses me off about it is that they, you're right, they push Gotham City down your throat. But then the newspapers all say the Gotham Gazette, but it says three Wall Street men.
It doesn't know where it wants to be.
So, no, hang on. Wall Street's in New York, and this looks like 1981 New York when the sanitation department was on strike.
Yeah,
and the streets look like shit. Look, New York still to this day has a rat problem because of what happened back then. And so like you made it look like New York. But you're saying Gotham. I don't know why you'd even bother to throw Gotham in there. The other thing that really pissed me off, and it's the same as what you just said, Josh, was us seeing Batman's parents getting murdered again.
It's like Uncle Ben. How many times do we need to see it? Yeah. We get it.
But like, this didn't even belong here. Like, it didn't.
It could have been a newspaper clipping on the thing that you don't see in cinemas. You play back on the Blu-ray and you go, oh, shit, that happened there during the riots.
You know what? Died. Oh. I'm going to be honest with you. It pissed me off as well. Yeah. Once again, I'm the biggest, like, fucking defender of Batman, but I'm like, I do not need to see the fucking pearls hit the ground.
Yeah.
It's like, it could have just ended with him standing on top of the taxi, maybe like a piece of paper go by him and you can see Wayne's murdered or some shit.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But yeah, the whole murdering of the Waynes, we get it. It's done.
The only other thing that got me in it as well, and it's also in the opening, like 2 to 3 minutes, I get that they're making him a Joker and they can have, I guess they want to make him look like a Joker. They want his physical appearance to reference a Joker later on.
What about him doing the...
Yeah, like that was fine. That didn't the smile thing didn't bother me. It's the fact that he's doing the spin around, like he's physically a clown. They really want you to go, hey, this is a clown. He's spinning the sign, happy-go-lucky, and then the billboard gets broken over him with the kids and stuff like that, and then they make it like a physical transformation.
Yeah.
Not just like the mental, like he already had problems, he could have just gone crazy, he can kill people. He could have had nothing to do with the clown metaphor sort of thing, and it would have been, I think, a different movie.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I don't understand.
No, so like the clown anti-establishment thing was like the whole point of it. They're all wearing clown masks.
Yes.
But like to also have him already be a clown, it was like, oh, he's a clown. Look, he's a clown. Okay, see, he's a clown. There he's a clown.
Like in the first 2 minutes, they could have said on the thing when they're like, hey, this guy's a clown, brought him up, and you could, oh, you want me to be a clown? Okay, I'll be a clown for you. Then he could have gone into that. I thought it would have been cool. But
here's my one then, if we're all doing little nicks. The fact that Thomas Wayne was such an asshole. It was a bit of an a-hole.
I fucking love that.
Yeah, I know I knew you would have, but like, you know, I like the mysterious part of not knowing who he really was. Because if you read Earth One by, shit.
Who's that guy?
No. Who's
Ennis?
Who's the fucking leader of the DC, what's his name? The main guy of DC right now.
Jim Lee?
No.
Jeff Loeb.
Totally forgot his name. I'm such not a fanboy.
Fake gamer girl.
Now I'll get back to his name after this, but his comic book had him... Jeff Johns, thank you. God damn it. Had him, Thomas Wayne, being like shrouded in mystery about, you know, the Court of Owls. I had him like being in with Boss Maroni and Falcone, not knowing that stuff. So, you know, on the surface, he's like a really like, you know, really good guy and all that stuff. But I guess seeing that he'd do anything to protect his son, okay, I can understand that. But throughout the whole thing, he was just such a prick.
I think that's more about a perspective thing as well. You're looking at this through the eyes of Joker or Fleck.
Arthur, yeah.
Yeah. So he's looking at him going, oh, this guy doesn't agree with me. Like the Scorsese opinion before, if you don't agree with that, already you're like, this guy is an idiot. What the hell? He's looking at him on TV going, he doesn't care about us. We're the little guys. We've got to rise up sort of thing. I think it's got more of a perspective approach to it. Yeah. He might just say one thing and then all of a sudden just like nah, disagree with everything he says.
Almost every time we've seen Thomas Wayne before, we've seen it through Bruce's eyes, and Bruce idolized him.
So he's a perfect guy.
And so he runs a successful company, and he's an ex-surgeon, and blah, 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 blah. And he's not an asshole. Come on, of course he's an asshole. It's just that Bruce gets everything he wants, and he's got this amazing father who takes care of him and his mum. Everybody else would hate that guy's guts, because he, no matter how much of a, no matter how philanthropic, say, Richard Branson is, there is someone who works for Richard Branson that hates his guts.
Knock him out in his white pantsuit.
He still looks like Peter Stringfellow to me, but whatever.
Are we going over the spoiler wall as well?
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers.
If you haven't seen this now and you see that the title of the episode's jokey, you probably shouldn't be listening to it anyway.
I was fucking about to steam if I found out that the Joker and Bruce Wayne were related.
Oh
my goodness.
And even then they
so
still...
So good twist or bad twist? If they'd gone the full mile and gone...
Bad. It's ham-fisted.
Yeah, that's very ham-fisted. It's lazy, if anything.
It reminds me... The only thing I don't like about Tim Burton's Batman is that it was Jack the Joker who killed his parents.
The brains, yeah.
Like, that's... You don't need to tie all of that shit up. Like, it doesn't need to be, because sometimes people just get killed, and it's tragic. But to tie it all in, and it's the same thing that pissed me off here. Like, the only reason they showed them being killed is because you saw him as being such a prick that it was your payoff to see him get murdered.
So if they had gone down that route of them being related and the lost love child,
I would never have talked about this film ever again.
Yeah, and then we'll be talking about it. That's the reason he wants to go kill them later on. Like, he goes and kills Martha and Thomas Wayne and being like, I can be the bigger, older brother. He doesn't know that he killed him, sort of thing.
Yeah.
He can raise Bruce to be his protege, his sidekick, per se.
Joker boy.
Yeah, whatever you want to call him. Little joking Robin, I don't know.
Shane's just thrown up into a bucket.
Yeah, but if they go down that route, you know, as well. Because obviously they wouldn't have just thrown it in there. They wanted that twist for viewers to go, what, are they actually going to...
Even then they didn't clarify it either, because, you know...
Or it was an opinion, like, no, that's not it. She was crazy, that's it.
Yeah. But you also see later on that Arthur finds a photo of his mum as a young lady, and on the back it says
love Thomas Wayne.
Yeah. So, like...
Yeah, they leave it.
It's always a bit left up there, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the whole film's like a real big...
Well, it's meant to be, right? Yeah.
One of the bits I really, really enjoyed was the fact that he's basically sixth-sensing the whole thing with that Sophie girl, Zazie Beetz, basically thinking that he was with her the whole time, and then it just goes back to him just like... Her being there, then just disappearing. Fucking genius.
Yeah. All the scenes when they're together.
I'm like, this guy's punching above his weight right now.
Yeah.
He just opens the door and just gets in with her. I'm like, whoa, dude.
Wearing clown makeup too?
Yeah, it was too, yeah. But that was...
I'm just now picturing if I was single, if a hot girl or if a girl came to the door...
In a dilapidated building.
In clown makeup and just started jumping on me, would I have a problem with it?
No.
The answer's no.
Do you know any jokes?
But like,
come on in.
He just busts into her apartment, just sitting there, and she comes out fucking petrified that somebody's in there. It's like, oh my God, holy shit.
Okay, did he murder her and the daughter?
That's what I mean. That's another thing. It's up to the thing. You know, when he went like that, you know, did he shoot him in his sleep? Or whatever.
I think there's, like I said, there's like, you can look at this film's two different ways, like from his opinion, like, sorry, from his point of view, or what he believes is happening, or what's really happening. There's kind of like two concurrent stories running at the same time. And if you break them apart, it's like you can watch story A or story B, or if you put them together, you get story C, and then you can kind of pick and choose what you want.
Yeah,
so it's like a Goosebumps read your own novel one where it's like, oh, you died. Oh, well, I've got my finger in that page. I'm going to go back to that. Yeah, choose your own adventure movie.
I think that this was... It's funny, I think that sitting at 1981 was really clever because the anti-establishment movement, like punk music and all that stuff was so big that sitting at that time and to have like this sort of anti-rich thing was a good time to set it, but it's also kind of reflective of what's happening now. Like, you know, the things where people are talking, like there's so much news at the moment about people saying, you know, we need to reduce industry and blah, blah, blah and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer and all that sort of stuff. And like, that's true and it's always been true. And I almost wonder if this is at some point going to be some sort of gigantic iconoclastic film where people are like, that was where it started. Like, we were already talking about this, but that was the thing that
I didn't realize it had started at that point.
Yeah. think it's a pretty good look at mental illness as well, and how back in those days, I think the other reason it was set then as well is because mental illness is seen as something that you support now.
It wasn't a thing back then.
Back then it was like, oh,
physically couldn't see it.
He's sick. Like,
well, on that
put him in an asylum. There you go. Add him to the
rest. Bus scene where he just starts cackling and hands the lady that card saying, like, I've got a motor neuron disease, whatever it was. And yeah.
That's so sad.
I know. And you're like, you really, and like the fact that he can cry and laugh at the same time when he does that laugh, it's fucking terrifying.
Okay, well. On that. Perfect segue to the next question. Is this the best performance of a Joker in any film?
That wasn't the question that you gave us.
No, it wasn't. I'm twisting it a little bit.
You're twisting it a bit.
So, if we...
I already had an answer. As soon as I saw that question, I didn't even have to do anything to it.
Okay, so let's start off with this. Was this the best Joker performance? Was this the best performance of the Joker?
No.
Mark Hamill.
No.
No, yeah. I disagree with all of them. Because, like we're talking about with Scorsese's things and Marvel films being a theme park, all these different Jokers, to me, are set in a different world.
Yep.
They're a different actor. They're trying to achieve a different goal. And they all achieve what I believe they'll set out to do.
Yeah.
Josh, we agree on something, dude. Yeah, we agree on something.
I agree with that totally. Yeah.
So,
100%, man. So Ledger's Joker, he came to Gotham for chaos.
Yep.
He wanted to be reckoned with. He was doing shit like blowing up boats of innocent people. He didn't give a fuck. Arthur Fleck, Affleck, you're welcome. He was just a guy who wanted to make people laugh. Mm-hmm. He was Dexter. He's taken out, he's a vigilante. He's taken out, like, you know, those three guys that were giving that lady shit and beat the shit out of him. He took out Robert De Niro, who sort of wronged him. He just wanted to be heard. That was it. He didn't want to be Joker. He got put into that position.
He was thrust into
that. Yeah, he was thrust in that position.
He's a classic Scorsese character.
Yeah.
He's Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler. He's Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver.
He's the same character.
Yeah. I wrote, this is basically Taxi Driver in the DC universe. But, you know,
it's that and King's Comedy.
And I think there's a bit of falling down in there as well. Michael Douglas.
Oh, nice pick.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
Jonathan Demme or something like that?
Yeah, so it was Michael Douglas in that. And So I think that he's having this is what happens when someone can have one bad day. And this is why I think that's way different.
I hadn't thought of Defense. Man, that was a fucking film about mental illness.
I did good.
Yeah, fuck. That was an amazing film. I mean, this can sit with films like that. It can sit with stuff like Fight Club.
I think Sid and Nancy as well, in a way.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you think, I think tying back to, the first thing again as well, is Scorsese said that it wasn't cinema because his idea of cinema...
We're really wrapped up on this.
He wants his characters to feel something. He wants people to feel for his characters. Mm. And that kind of got me going, okay, fair enough. You can see it. And I agree. Like, you can kind of empathize with this guy going, and a good villain you can empathize with, I feel like, is a great character. Because you're like, I agree. I would do the same thing if I was in their position.
If I got the shit beat out of me on a train, if I got mugged in the alleyway by little punks, I'd do the same thing.
You get to that point.
If I got ripped on by Robert De Niro.
The best villains in the world aren't the ones that rub their hands together and go, I'm evil. The best villains are the ones who thinks that they're the heroes.
Norman Bates.
Yeah. Like Lex Luthor is quite possibly the best villain in the history. Lex Luthor and Doctor Doom in comics are probably the best supervillains ever.
They're so adamant. They're doing the right thing the whole time. Like, they just can't grasp
it. Well, Lex Luthor's trying to save the world from a possible alien invasion.
He's doing the exact thing that we would expect of our leaders.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, if you take Lex Luthor out of DC and throw him into the Marvel movies, he's called Iron Man.
You get that, right? So that's where I was kind of leading with that as well. If you're going to compare cinema or defining of character being someone you can feel for, I definitely feel like, and not even just in the Marvel universe, there's characters from movies where you're like, man, I feel so strong or so passionate towards that character or their emotion. Or if you've ever been brought to tears in a movie sort of thing, or a moment in a movie, I think that evokes something in you. That doesn't have to be everyone.
Mm.
It may be your, your experiences or things you've gone through or things you can relate with to that character or that movie that then make you go, yeah, I appreciate that character or that movie or that moment or whatever it be. And there's definitely moments of that in Joker for probably a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think there's moments in other superhero movies or other movies in general where people are like, yeah, I get that. I feel that. And they probably feel very strongly to that. If you insulted or said something about that movie, like that not being a real movie, you'd be like, hold on here.
Yeah.
I got something out of that movie. You might not have, but that's why we all have an opinion. It's great. And that's why I really love this question, because I think it sparked such a great conversation for, you know, what is or isn't a movie.
Yeah.
I'm attracted to the grittiness. That's just my thing, like with movies, you know. I love Daredevil on Netflix because it's just gritty. It's superhero based, but it's gritty. Same with Punisher. And that's why I think this movie's great, because it's just it's a boots on the ground movie. And that's what I like sometimes.
So let's go with that. This was an amazing film. And if we talk about this as being, and we have to talk about this as being the way it is that if we talk about this as the beginning of a franchise, first question, Shane's face says to me that Shane doesn't want to see it as a franchise. Josh?
I do.
You do?
And not in the aspect of I don't need Joker 2, 3, 4, and 5. I want to see real world scenarios. I don't want the Link to Gotham, take that out, but have real world, either you're either set in the real world or you're set in the fake world. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Marvel and DC either do collectively.
Are you talking about the TV show Gotham or set in Gotham?
No, I mean set in Gotham.
No, well, that's like, the question though, if like, you want to spin this off.
No. So you don't need to. The Joker didn't know if it wanted to be set in Gotham. I think they needed that link to then be like, hey, this is the Joker, Batman sort of thing. But it could have been New York, crazy guy, does crazy things, that's it. And it could have been just simply that. I think you could have other villains from the DC universe or Marvel. You could do whatever story you wanted from whatever production company, but you could have real world scenarios with them without linking it to comic book stuff. And I think that would make a really interesting villain or story in that aspect.
But are you saying that the Joker is going to be a part, or Joker is going to be a part of these people coming in?
I've got no idea.
Okay, so here is when I saw this film, I was at PAX in Melbourne. Yeah, and you were.
Do I think it will be? I've got no idea. Would I like it to be? If they executed it right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, a bunch of us came out of that movie, and we sort of were discussing the same question. It was like, would it be fun to not have movies that are about heroes and villains set in the DC universe? So you don't see a hero in these film at all. So there was
no hero in this one.
There was no hero in this one. There was tragedy. Yeah.
If you had like Greta Thunberg, right? No. Like seriously. Like so. Let's say like the environment. We're talking about that before, right? You have like climate change is a real thing. We're all trying to talk about it. Everyone's like, no, it isn't. Scientists are saying, no, it isn't. People are saying, yes, there is. You pick someone like, let's just say her hypothetically
to be Poison Ivy.
Yeah, exactly. Is like a environment activist, like pushing
it. Climate change terrorist.
Yeah.
Joker should stab her with scissors.
And something happens. To not give her superpowers but to maybe change her personality or just her appearance or something like that. And it doesn't have to be becomes green with skin like a Mystique or like blue or something or green like
personality. Well, yeah, so
it can just be a personality or, yeah, something like that to just change
her
opinion.
It could simply be that it's like in the same way that this was, it could be Pamela Isley is a climate change activist who's a scientist and all the rest of it, and she's decided that the only way to stop the pollution
get rid of the people.
In Gotham is to get rid of the people, so she creates a poison to pour into the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is this in the same world as Joker? So, is he existing in this?
Yeah, so it could be that the riots are what cause is the catalyst for making people think that. So you could have the ones that we were talking about was that climate change activist as Poison Ivy. The
Penguin.
Second child of the Cobblepot family. Oswald,
mm-hmm.
He's deformed. He suffers from a lot of diseases, a lot of mental illnesses and stuff like that. And he sees this as an opportunity to kill his parents and his older brother, who's destined to take over the family business. And he becomes the new crime
boss.
Sees
this on TV. He goes, "This guy did it.
Yeah,
he's got a huge following. Why can't I do it?"
The Riddler.
Mm.
The Riddler sees that created by someone who's mad. I reckon I could do this better. And that's so Riddler, like. Riddler's...
It's like a competition of who can one-up the other one in terms of crazy.
He wants to do it better. You could have Professor Zsasz gets his first kill. But maybe one of the cops that was beaten up on the train was done by Zsasz, and he gets a taste for it. And so the serial killing of that character starts off from there. Like, I think that there's opportunities, because the Batman characters are, a lot of them, based with very low-level or non-existent powers. Firefly. you could have a movie about an arsonist.
See, I'd back
set in Australia.
Okay.
I would back Zaz and Garfield Lyons, who is Firefly.
Yeah.
Love to see Mr. Freeze as well.
It's just Gotham then. You just may as well go watch the five seasons of Gotham.
Yeah.
Because that's just every character in it. I can't see Joaquin Phoenix's Joker interacting with any of these people.
That's the thing. These people don't have to be called Poison Ivy. They don't have to be called the Joker. They don't have to be called Mr. Freeze.
I can't see him going against them. I can't see him interacting whatsoever with any of these.
They might not need to interact.
They don't need to. Just the same way as Shazam didn't interact with other characters. You see a Batarang and you see the back of Superman.
Yeah, no, you see up to here. Yeah, you see up to the.
So there's things that you can do where it's like that riot is the catalyst that starts all of this.
All you need is the news coverage going on, crazy shit's happening on this side of the world with this right now, or two towns over, and us knowing that that could be that. They don't need to directly, hi, I am this person. Yeah. I'm interacting with you. Yeah, you just.
I think Shane's 100% right though. Is that too many sequels to this with too many characters, and you turn it into the TV show of Gotham. And that's not needed. It's a hard call. I don't know how they would do a sequel to the Arthur Fleck story. I don't know where you'd go with another one. Like, does he escape? Do they do the shit thing that's the biggest problem with Joker's comics, in that every single issue at the beginning of it is, and so the Joker once again escapes from Arkham Asylum.
Well, the last thing ended with
put
him
somewhere
top,
else.
Well, the last thing was they busted him out of the cop car and he was on top of the thing. So I'm guessing
he's back in the asylum then, running around doing Benny Hill music. What, running around? Running up and down the hallway.
I would love to talk about Joaquin Phoenix's performance though.
Okay,
like some of the key scenes.
Go for it.
Obviously, one of the ones that really stood out to me was the apartment scene where he's getting ready for the Robert De Niro scene, when he has just the white makeup and the green hair, and then he's...
With Gary.
Gary comes to him, and then
he's up the bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, we heard that your mum...
Yeah, well, he ends up killing the dude that
gave
him the gun, fucked him over, and then he stabs him with scissors and knocks his head, but then he just sort of sits down and just plays around with Gary, and then when he's like, you can leave, then he just jumps at him, like, ah! And then when he's trying to... Because Gary's a midget who hasn't seen this, or a little person, sorry. Correct speaking, he tries to open the door, but the chain's on there, and he he puts his head against the door. He's like, fuck. He's like, Arthur, can you please get the door?
I can honestly say that I haven't been filled with so much dread in a film.
I wrote that down. Years. It's the most tense scene, because he's just sitting on the ground with blood on his hand, just going like this, and he's just looking at his nails, just like, yes, Gary. Oh, fuck the chain. I'm sorry. I'll get it for you.
Yeah.
But you can leave. That's why I think that his take of the Joker is a lot more... It's a lot more menacing than other ones we've seen, because Heath Ledger, you sort of knew what he was going to do the whole time. Like, he was killing people left, right, and center, but this one, you're like, he is just taking out certain people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't know, like, what he's going to do.
It's like a Two-Face, like, with the coin.
Yeah.
He could have killed him. There could have been two moments that he could have, like, let him go or killed him. Yeah. That was a choose-your-own-adventure moment. He was just like,
made that for me, though, and it was apparently a lot of what Phoenix did in these films was like the punching out. I forgot to punch out, and he punches the clock off the wall. That was an ad lib.
Oh, everything was fucking ad lib with him.
Yeah,
as if there was a script for Joaquin.
When he finally lets Gary out and says, "You were the only one that was ever nice to me," and kisses him on the head like a child. Yeah. I thought that was fantastic.
But like, he's just standing there, like, and I just love the callback to Dark Knight Returns, because obviously that last scene in the studio was a big Dark Knight Returns, Dave Endergren type thing. I don't know if you ever read that one, Josh.
Nope.
It's set in 1986 by Frank Miller. It's where Batman and Superman fight. So it's a four-book series, and the Joker gets out of Arkham, and he gets invited to talk on a talk show. His name's Dave Endergren. It's like a... what's his name?
It's like Letterman or...
Yeah.
Cohen?
Conan
O'Brien, type of show. And he actually poisons the whole crowd as well as Dave Endergren. But this one, he shoots... Murray Franklin in the head.
And boy, doesn't he.
He fucking shoots him in
the
head.
What a shot.
Yeah. And also the dancing down the stairs in full clown makeup was his basically realization, being happy he's found his place in the world. And it was a beautiful, like, full Monty, like, I don't know the song. Da-na-na-na. Whoa.
Well, interestingly, one of the other things that caused controversy with this, and it made it talked about as well, that's a film by Gary Glitter, who's still in jail now for a pedophile.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, because there was a period where when they heard that a song by Gary Glitter was in this film, there was a little bit of, how dare you? But it's like, how dare I? well, how dare I have you talk about my film for free? Yeah, exactly.
I saw in that movie, and I watched it at the cinemas. I've watched it since, and then I watched it again this week just to kind of get a little refresh and stuff. But every time in this movie where he has a moment of, am I doing the right thing? I don't even think he has that, but where his personality changes, there's some sort of descent or stairs where he descends further into madness, or my opinion, going down the stairs was like the final trigger. I'm like, oh, he's well and truly gone.
Yeah, it was
There's a moment where, when he kills the three guys, where he kind of snaps and he goes, what have I done? And he runs up the subway stairs sort of thing. And he's like,
emerging from the darkness.
Yeah, I'm not that person. Yeah, but every time after that, it's downstairs, it's down. He's going crazier.
And that takes us back to Scorsese saying it about cinema. Like, there's no symbolism in the Marvel films. The Marvel films are like, if you want to compare Marvel films to something other than comics, Bold and the Beautiful.
Damn, I love Bold and the Beautiful.
Because it starts...
It's still going.
and it's not a bad thing. It's just that it's soap opera. That's all it is. Marvel is soap opera, and they designed it to be soap opera. Those ending scenes that they added, it's soap opera. It's the next
to
week.
To be continued, yeah.
Next week on Marvel. And that's what it's there for. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think Scorsese, when he says that thing about proper cinema, is that he's actually saying like the symbolism's gone and that the artistry is in the effects and not in the way the story is told.
If you're only doing one movie and you know very early on, we're only doing one movie, we're investing everything into making this movie look and feel proper and everything in this movie to have a meaning.
Yeah.
So you can really break this down as like an English piece sort of thing. If it was done in schools or whatever, you could go, yeah, we could do this. Yeah. There's a lot in this movie to compact, to break down, and dissect as well. For even just my most recent one, I was like, oh, there's a lot in here, but if I start taking notes, I'm going to be doing essays and I'm not doing that. So, very, very interesting.
Saw a lot of people online be like, why is he dancing down the stairs to our music? They just added that in for fucking shock value. I'm like, because it's his like final descent, basically.
Yeah.
It's his like happiness phase. He's coming out as Joker. Like, he's finally happy. Because as you said, when he's talked to his psychiatrist and his mom, he's like, I've never been happy once in my life. This is him being truly happy.
He's found himself.
Yeah.
He's untethering all those things.
Oh, he looks good in that suit.
His mom and stuff like that.
God, he lost so much weight for that role. Like, his shoulder bones, when he answers that door to Gary and the other guy, like, his shoulder bones scare me.
When he's stretching his shoes, just like, when he's stretching his shoes, and he can just see it from the back.
He's like sitting on the lounge without the shirt as well, and he's just like stretched out.
He was just contorting himself the whole time as well.
The only two times that I've seen bodies like
The Machinist
with Christian Bale. Yeah. And I think Guy Pearce did it in Memento.
Yeah, he lost a lot of weight.
Heap of weight in that. But it was painful to
watch. Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. And I wonder if with Morbius as well, like you see in the trailer that he's really thin at a couple of points.
He would do it as well. He's a method actor, same with Joaquin.
Like, did they do like the muscly stuff first and then he just went and lost the weight?
He's vegan.
So it's Joaquin actually.
That's not protein. That's how he normally looks. And they said, all right, we've done those bits. Eat some steaks. Let's go.
Have a sandwich. Bro.
Drink all this blood.
So I'm going to ask this question in two different ways. I'm going to ask you all what you'd give this as a score out of 5 as a comic movie, and what you give it out. So what would you give this out of 5 as a theme park, and what would you give it out of 5 as cinema? Shane, what would you give it out as 5 as a theme park?
Give it a 3. Okay. I don't know, because there was a lot of Gotham, Arkham, Bruce Wayne, Thomas Wayne, Alfred. Someone's like, that's not Alfred. I'm like, you fucking kidding me? An English guy holding back.
It was so Alfred.
It's like, yeah, no, but if you watch with subtitles like I do, literally says Alfred.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it says Alfred. As a cinema, I'd give it a solid 4.5. This is probably this and probably Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was one of my favorite movies of the year.
Wow. Yeah. Josh, theme park.
I thought I was being generous with maybe a 1 or a 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as a cinema,
a proper film.
As a proper film, I'd probably give it a solid 4.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. For me, as a theme park, 0.
Oh, good. I thought I was being
generous
with 1 or 2.
This is not trying to be Marvel. It is the complete and utter 100% antithesis of what a Marvel film is, and that's what it's designed to be. So to give this any point as a theme park is really... I get where you're coming from, Shane. Yeah, it's still a comic movie because Gotham and all of the stuff that they referenced.
Just to clarify, I went in this not thinking about comic books.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I got hyped up for it. I'm like, I'm not going in there thinking it's going to be a fucking...
And that was what was so funny is that when I went and saw it, I sat there for the first 20 minutes with my arms folded going, fuck this film, because this is not a comic book movie.
And then you got yourself tapped out of it. You're like, wait a second.
And then somewhere along the line, I went, wow, this movie's a solid 4.5 out of 5. This is proper movie.
And
it's
side note, this was Nat's favorite movie of 2019.
Wow. Okay.
She fucking loves this movie.
I had that moment in the film as well. Yeah. I was sitting there and I was like, I don't care. I left to go get snacks because I was annoyed with it.
Yeah.
And then I came back. And then I came back and then that's where I started to be like, oh, okay, the film knows what it wants to do. It's like they kind of just said, it's like someone's walked out of a room going, handle this till I get back. And then someone's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. And then so they've come back being like, I got this. And then the film just made a lot more sense. It knew what it wanted to be. It knew where it slotted into and it was like, yeah.
Because I've been reading comics for like 45 years, when I see a comic film, I try to relate it back.
You started when you were 30?
Shut the fuck up.
Are you Morbius?
And then it's funny because I sat there going, this is nothing like any Joker I've ever seen. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, it's not like any Joker I've ever seen.
Wait till Supernova.
So that's the point.
Wait till Supernova, bro.
Why?
The cosplayers.
Oh, everybody will be...
There'll be a lot of cosplayers.
Every male will be Arthur Fleck and every woman's going to be Harley Quinn in the new shorts.
10 points to whoever brings hyenas.
I'm going to wear our Nerds of Oz shirts.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, Justin, you're coming with us.
Oh, God.
It'll be so fun.
I have to make sure I got a lot of money so I can buy heaps of comics.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, they don't sell comics there.
What?
That's a lie. I bought fucking a set of the ones I've been just chasing for.
Well, let me tell you something. I kind of half believe Josh because
okay, they do sell comics, not as many as you think.
They got a full CGC booth.
Eight years ago at San Diego Comic Con, there was a 50 Shades of Grey booth. At San Diego Comic Con, there was a 50 Shades of Grey.
I never want to go there. I never want to go there.
Imagine the comic of that. Be like one of those little tearaway ones. No, where you need to like pull off the sealed section sort of thing to get into
scratch
it.
Scratch and sniff.
Yeah.
Ooh. Comes with the free accessory.
I'd rather Christian Grey over Dakota Johnson. I don't like her.
Really?
No. I think she's bland as fuck.
Do you know what's funny? I can't even... I have to agree with that because I can't think of what she looks like.
Yeah, good.
Plain Jane.
Every time I think of what she looks like, my brain... puts Claire Foy for some reason. Lisbeth Salander from The Crown.
Yeah, The Crown. Yeah.
I try to think of her and it's like, oh, no, that's not her. Oh, that's not her. Cool. Okay. Well, so that was a lot of fun talking about that. I think
it was probably one of our most in-depth talks about it ever.
God.
No one cried.
Says who? I cry after you guys leave.
I'm good.
Because it's sad.
Cut that out.
The beers are kicking in, though. So they wear up.
It's sad when you guys aren't in the fortress anymore, and the fortress is just a big empty shell.
Kirby's here.
Like I said.
Can't even answer.
Oh, he's not even here.
Yeah, can't even work out how to answer a phone. So I think that's us done for this episode. Shane, where can we contact you or see what's going on in your life?
Well, I finally got Facebook back.
God.
So, yeah, but Instagram is my main hoe. Batfleck44.
My moho.
Yeah.
Josh, what about you?
Instagram, the Sourceless White Boy.
If anyone wants to drop us some lines, ask us some questions, hit us up.
Yeah, for sure.
We're always about that.
Yeah, even just ask us about the shit that we're posting because, like, we all post crap out of our collection.
Some weird shit. Oh, did I tell you I got the Joker Converses? You know the ones I needed?
Cool.
Yeah, I showed you, but yeah, one of the guys from work, his girlfriend works at Converse, and somebody returned a pair on Boxing Day.
What the fuck?
Because they needed a bigger size. They needed like an 11, so I got a 10.
You got small feet.
Yeah, I got those size 10s.
Got the lady feet.
And I got that discount as well. I didn't want to wear them today because it's too wet.
Don't want to get them damaged. Yeah. I get that.
Do you wear your
Thanos as well?
Do you wear your Captain Marvel, your Thanos ones?
I re-listened to that episode. Fuck, we had a good time that day. We're all just losing over those shoes. Like,
I was going to, and the more I look at them now going, and looking at how high the prices are for them.
Told you wouldn't wear them. Told you.
I got two pairs of character shoes. I got a pair
of the Vans, don't you?
Spider-Man Vans.
Don't wear them.
I wear them everywhere.
Don't wear them.
And I have a pair of the Woody.
Oh, with Andy at the bottom of it?
Oh, with Andy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But
cool.
I don't like wearing those because my boss's name's Andy. Yeah. And whenever he sees me wear them, he's like, show me the bottom.
Who's your boss?
Yeah.
Remember I sold my Blu-ray copy of Toy Story 4 because it was fucking trash, that movie.
I never bought it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Good man.
And like,
it stopped at 3 for me.
Yes. Oh, lots of the bear. Jesus.
Well, as for the Nerds of Oz, you can contact us on Twitter and on Instagram at the Nerds of Oz. Our next episode is going to be a review episode. We're going to grab some stuff that we have consumed over the last couple of weeks or the next couple of weeks, and we'll do a little bit of a review episode.
I better get some stuff.
You better read some.
I better order some comics.
Yeah. I just bought a whole pile of... I got a new statue.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I got Mary Marvel. Oh, Mary Shazam.
Oh, my God, she's hot.
I got one for next time. Okay. I haven't opened it yet.
Cool.
Are you going to save it?
Yes.
Nice. Well, that's going to be burning a hole in your brain. They're like, what is it? What is it?
I know what it is. I ordered it.
It's his cat.
It's more the cat that wants to get into the box.
Let me get in that fucking box, you son of a bitch.
It's a big box, too. It's a big box.
Hectic.
Cool. Okay, then. Well, that's us done. Thank you so much for listening. If you whatever podcasting place that you listen to us, please leave us a review. Give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it, and give us 5 stars if you don't think we deserve it. Just don't give us anything less than 5 stars.
They only rate in 5s now.
But yeah, just 5 or nothing.
We have to travel far to be at this place, so hook us up.
Cool. Thank you so much for listening, and we shall talk to you next time.
Bye.